From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
Your hosts, Mike Hicks and Aaron Newton. You people are crazy.
Okay, we have another Kentucky Crazies podcast we're getting ready to do. We decided that we might do another one, but we didn't really know if there was any news going on or anything. Aaron, have you heard about anything?
I know what UK and Eastern had a pretty tough game last week.
Yeah.
They pulled it out.
Something else.
Volleyball's been on a pretty good streak.
Yeah, I heard the golf team had a good practice.
They hit some balls pretty far.
Let us think about it. I don't know what it was.
Oh, little brother.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Oh, little brother. Seems like there's a little bit of news going on right now that we might need to address and talk about.
Seems like something new is coming out every 20 minutes, it seems like.
Yeah, as the world turns.
It's getting hard to keep up.
As the world turns in Oh, Little Brother land.
It is like a soap opera.
Well, I guess what we need to do is just take it from the top as far as... And again, we apologize for any double entendres that happen throughout the show that we can't control. But let's take it from the top.
It's a natural occurrence.
It is. It's nuts, actually, that it happened so much. But what about the... okay, so Friday, last Friday, the news broke from all people, Pat Forty, on Twitter.
That's the biggest shock of all, is who it came from.
And we had just had a great KentuckyCrazies.com meeting with our latest teammate, Crazy Me, here in Owensboro, at Williamsburg Square. You can go pick up some of our merchandise there. Had to throw it in there. But we were literally coming back from Crazy Me, and all of a sudden, I get the retweet from Matt Jones, KSR fame. And when I read it, I thought it was maybe... Pat Forty's Twitter account got hacked or something, you know?
Because normally you would think that'd be the only way that Pat Forty would say anything negative towards Patino, especially.
Exactly, you know, deny, which once I started reading those tweets that came out, of course we put those on our website right down the line there, is I started thinking this, before I even knew anything, I thought this might be real, that it happened, because... Number one, it was 5 o'clock around 4 o'clock on a Friday night. That's when you release news that you don't want to have majorly publicized. And then the other thing is maybe he wants to be out in front of the narrative. Those are two things in the media world that clicked in my mind about him being the one that had done it. If, you know, if 10 other people would have done it, especially if it was a UK guy, everybody would have poo-pooed it, you know.
Well, let's just break down real quick what you're talking about, just in case there's anybody that has been living under a rock.
Yeah, really.
It's almost comical to say, but the Louisville program has been hit with allegations of providing prostitutes, strippers to their players, recruits in the dorm rooms.
In the dorm rooms.
Being paid for.
And the allegations, of course, are in the book, Breaking Cardinal Rules. And Andre McGee is the guy that supposedly, allegedly, provided the money to these prostitutes.
Former player at U of L, former, director of basketball operations, which sounded like he had a pretty good gig there. And now he's the current assistant coach at UMKC, Missouri, Kansas City, I think.
And, of course, he's been put on active duty leave or whatever however they call that. And it's interesting. I saw that on his job description back when he was at Louisville, that was on their website, for real, was in charge of recruiting on campus type stuff.
Yeah.
And so it plays right into it, you know. So that was, yeah, that, like Aaron said, if you've been living under a rock, you know, that's the story there. And, of course, now it's a best-selling book. All of this started last Friday. And so, you know, that was the initial break of the story, which was bizarre, and it's still bizarre. And then shortly after that, I thought it was a poor decision on Louisville's part. I know that they just had a scrimmage game of their basketball team, and Rick comes out to the massive media folks, and it was ESPN broadcast a scrimmage game press conference live, but of course they didn't ask about the game. And I guess Rick had to go out there, but did you see the interview? Or
I did, and it was apparently Louisville has known about this since the end of August. So they've had all that time to prepare for that little, you know, press conference that they held. And even with that, they weren't very well prepared.
Looked like it, the timing was a bombshell, perhaps, because he was blindsided, and he had a lot of things in that press conference that were just really, one of the lines was, I don't believe in cheating of any kind, you know. And like I said, he even kind of counteracted what he said before in a couple of statements, and it was bad. It was just a poor, I would have just pulled him if I was U of L, because but you know, it does show that they knew about the story as far as for a month, but they didn't know the timing of the release of the story.
And then Pitino would kind of double speak. He would say at one point that he I know he made a comment that he just now heard about all this. Well, you know, then later they inform, he says that they had heard about this at the end of August. Well, you know, so which is it? Did you just now hear about it? Because, you know, he was putting on the big appearance that he was shocked and he hasn't been sleeping and, you know.
He hasn't been sleeping, but he didn't know about it, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's the lionest liar that's ever lied, so.
Yeah.
That's.
So, like I said, though, he had all that time to prepare for this and. And still, I think he was poorly prepared, I guess you would say, because he failed miserably at that press conference.
Absolutely. And then, of course, then the book is released where it's actually just a, at this time, an ebook. You can get it on Amazon and different sources like that. It will possibly be coming out in paperback. I heard that today. But so the book, you know, mentions multiple recruits. And then it also mentions some ex-players. And it goes through all of that, and then you, basically everybody's been talking about their opinion of you know, did Rick know? Did Rick not know? What did Louisville know? Where does the money trail lead? You've got all this stuff going on between basically Saturday and today. Just everybody was giving their opinions. So, what was your opinion at that point?
Well, I would tend to believe that Rick didn't know. But I'm saying he didn't know because he told McGee, do what you need to do, but don't let me know. You know, do this on your own. Keep me out of it. You know, keep me in the dark.
Yeah. What is the definition of is? What was the Bill Clinton line or whatever? Basically, yeah, you're right. That's the way to exclude yourself is to say, don't tell me what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's easy to see right there. And so today... Fast forward to today. Again, everybody just kind of went back and forth with it. But today was a big breaking news kind of situation. The earlier, again, on KSR, the godfather of the blogs and the radio shows, they interviewed the writer of the book. And that was really telling to me. He was very direct, very succinct. And basically the gist of it, there was two things I took from that interview, which was how absolutely confident he was in saying we had independent people to come in to, you know, check our the forensic type people. And the fact that she, after the book was released, the madam, Katina, she actually said that how could Rick not know that this was going on? So he was asked directly that question. And his answer was, she doesn't know anything if Rick knew or not. He said, it's not in the book, and I don't know if Rick knew anything or not. Because guess what? He couldn't prove that. And when I heard that, that shows you there was no vendetta, like openly against Rick Pitino. And that actually blew my mind. And I was already convinced of this stuff going on. But whenever he said that, I was like, if you weren't convinced of it, that to me was telling.
You know, and to me, it really doesn't matter if he knew or not.
Right.
These things were happening under him, under his program that he has total control over. You know, the NCAA come out with this new thing, was last year, 2 years ago, that, you know, no matter what happens, the coach is responsible for his program.
It's under his watch.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So
you're right. You're right about
so
that.
So to me, whether he knew or not, which, like I said, I don't believe he did just because of, you know, what we stated, but it really shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter. And the fact that, you know, again, he wasn't this guy that was a hater on purpose. He just laid it out on the line. He said, we had phone records. So he was very forward about, we only put in the book. And then right on cue, he was saying, what is in the book is reality, is how he said it. And right on cue, breaking news from CBS Sports at that exact moment, basically, the kid Lyles that ended up going to Ohio State, was it Jaquan Lyles,
Jaquan Lyles.
He was a former Louisville recruit, and he actually confirmed the allegations to the NCAA, not to a media guy, whatever. And so that broke whatever he was doing his interview. And so they told him about it, and he said, well, see, there you go. He said, it's a reality.
Yes.
It's a reality.
Yeah. So although there's still going to be those out there that are defending, you know, the program or Patino, but I don't see how they can, you know.
Everybody does it.
Yeah. It's, you know, you backtrack just a little bit here, and another point I think is pretty comical is where the book originated from. And, the University of Indiana, you know, this publishing company is IBJ.
Indianapolis Business Journal.
I just think it's hilarious that, when all this first happens, everybody pointing finger at Kentucky. Well, you know what? Kentucky had something to do with it. It's coming from them.
And it came out of nowhere.
It's from Indiana. And why Indiana, I don't know. But to me, that's just comical. That's like the icing on the cake right there.
Well, I remember I texted you and I said, what is this stuff about? Is when we were first learning about everything. I was like, what is this stuff about blaming Indiana? Louisville fans blame. And so, quite, you know, as far as, like you said, the comical angle of this, it's almost like you put a room full of the most rabid UK fans. We couldn't come up with a story.
No.
We couldn't even come up with a story.
No. It's so far-fetched that even we couldn't fathom this happening.
Have somebody from Indiana go after, and then they're going to fight with, it's absolutely nuts. And then also another thing that broke today was Dr. Ramsey, the president of U of L, came out with, you'd expect him to come out with some kind of legal letter, his lawyers are telling him what to send out. But in the letter, he talked about how they're a stand-up university and all that kind of stuff. And then he talked about Tom Jurich, and he praised Tom Jurich. And the whole letter goes through, and there's no mention of Rick Pitino.
No, not at all.
And that is, this is the first time. Like you said, I also agree, as much as I dislike the guy, that he probably didn't know. But the fact he wasn't mentioned in it, That's
pretty telling.
It is telling.
Of his future, yes.
And so, then fast forward again later today, Rick Pitino was in an interview with Terry Miners. And here's a quote from Rick Pitino in that interview when he was asked about the letter from Dr. Ramsey. Rick said, quote, if I get the feeling that Dr. Ramsey wants me to resign, I'd pack my bags.
He also said that he will not resign because that's the coward's way out. So.
That to me, you know what? I mean, this isn't guys on a basketball court, as much as we, slam on Rick, there's no denying that his teams always fight and all that sort of thing, and they never cower out. And that's who he is, and that's commendable on those levels. This isn't basketball. You're talking about, to be serious for a second, there's allegations that the daughter of the madam, 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
And then you've got recruits that are underage.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I know Rick gets that, but today with the coward comment, that's kind of his go-to, and he's used to succeeding with that go-to.
There's also been a couple other things. I think maybe the most recent is a former U of L player who wasn't named. Everybody kind of assumes it's Bahanan, but he confirmed that they did have strippers in the dorm.
Right.
Never mentioned any sexual acts or anything like that. But he did say the only money he saw exchange hands was dollar bills.
Right. And this is going on in their dorm on campus.
Yeah, Minority Hall.
And it goes back to the culture, with the Cypher situation and bringing in Pitino. And I know these things aren't connect the dot related, but then all of a sudden, there's a culture there, and it's like, this is okay. We can do this. We can get by with whatever it is we want to do. Mm-hmm. And there is that element to it. And so I thought this was pretty telling. This is something I put on the website earlier basically the interview that Rick had with Terry Miners. Of course, everybody knows Oscar Combs, the founder of the famous Cat's Paw, the Big O. Yeah, the Big O. He put out a series of tweets. I'm just going to read through a few of these because this put it, to me, on a historical level. All of a sudden, this is starting to become the real deal. I'll read a few of these real quick. Oscar Combs, First tweet says, Rick Pitino interview with Terry Miner today, so reminiscent of 25 years ago when Eddie Sutton proclaimed no knowledge of the money package to L.A. Sutton allegedly, I'll go to the next one here. What soon followed after Sutton's ouster was Sports Illustrated glaring and chilling Kentucky shame cover to our state's embarrassment. And then basically he talked about how he didn't expect this to happen, again, at either school, a scenario like this. And the last one was pretty telling. Unthinkable that Rick Pitino would get caught up in one like this after wading through Kentucky mess in the 90s. Shows us that power can corrupt. That last line to me tells me that Oscar, now I'm not speaking for Oscar, but that tells me he thinks Rick's either knows or was involved
And Oscar definitely would have more insight than what we would have into the goings on around any program, basically. And that's pretty strong words there from the Big O.
And that was his last tweet. I was waiting for more to see, but he says, shows us how power can corrupt. And that to me was maybe, again, putting on that historical look at it,
Mm-hmm.
And that's in part where I said, Aaron, get over here, let's do a podcast. Because we're both busy with our regular day-to-day stuff, but I thought, we got to put our mark on it with our opinions and insight on it.
Interesting, too, I did see Rapetino kind of has a history of this kind of thing with apparently there's a book written years ago. I'm not sure what it was called, but his time at the Boston Celtics. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Actually, I think it was when he was at Boston University.
I was thinking Boston Celtics.
Because it was like eight. It was.
Said he took some of the players to a strip club.
Right.
And he has a history with that.
Right.
So.
And his excuse, they actually asked a representative of Louisville there today about that, and his answer was that Rick said they thought it was a restaurant. Now, I'm sorry, I don't think I've ever seen a strip club that I would mistake for a restaurant.
Well, we know what Pitino does in restaurants.
That's true, maybe. They're one and the same for Rick, aren't they? So, strip club, restaurant.
Same thing. All you can eat.
That's right. That's,
I have to edit that out.
No. At this point. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, it's at this point, October the 8th. He's still their coach. And news is literally breaking every other minute. And when we put this out there, and it's going to be something that's going to be there forever, right now, October the 8th, what do you think is going to happen?
The way things are looking right now, after the Ramsey's comments and, not mentioning Pitino at all and really taking up for Jurich, and it kind of looks like he's on his way out. Then you think, if they fire him, can they get something better? That's what a lot of programs have to look at. Well, can you do better than this? Can you do better than Pitino? Do you take the risk of just keeping him because you can't do better? Or do you finally say that enough is enough? To me, it looks like he's on his way out.
Well, the way I see it, too, is either way, they're going to have several years where they can't recruit. If Rick stays, he's going to be easy to recruit against. And they're probably going to have some form of either self-imposed situation, no postseason, et cetera. So you're looking at least a couple of years where you can't recruit because no kids want to go there for that.
Well, now you get recruits in. Now they expect it.
Well.
Where's the strippers at?
Yeah,
let's go.
True.
Let's go, coach.
Well, that depends on what they're going there for, I guess.
But I want to go for a recruiting visit.
Well, I saw a meme of I won't mention the player's name because I want to pull him into it, but somebody created a meme of a UK player from last season, and it was him laughing. They said, what, they have to pay for it? like I said, if he's on the way out, then they're going to have some kind of probation scenario going on, and then they're going to not be able to recruit no matter who they get to come in. And then if he stays, they're in trouble for several years.
They are in trouble regardless of what happens with Pitino.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's a part of me that wants him to stay, because I feel like if he stays, that it's going to be harder on him in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I want it to be hard on him in the long run.
And you know, it's a lot of fun beating him right now.
Yeah.
What's 1-7 is that what we are right now, and with Cal.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a lot of fun.
And it's gonna get, where is it gonna destroy him now? It's
yeah,
like 30-point blowout kind of stuff.
And, you know, they're gonna, if they self-impose, you know, we're just speculating here, but if they self-impose some sanctions, you know, they'll probably lose us some scholarships or, you know, whatnot. I don't know what else will be involved, but, and even with that, well, the NCAA say, you know, that's not enough, you know, we're going to do more, but it's definitely going to hurt. You know, with basketball, you start losing scholarships like that, it really takes its toll.
It takes a long time to recover.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that somebody asked me a couple days ago, what do I think is going to happen? And in just 2 days, I've changed my mind based upon what happened with his letter tonight. 2 days ago, I said, I think Rick's going to walk off into the sunset as being the unscathed one, and they're going to find a scapegoat, you know, for like McGee or whoever, and get rid of maybe an assistant or two or something. Blame it somebody on the front office. But Rick would always be the one that was separate from it. And again, don't know if he had anything to do about it. We talked about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was 2 days ago. Now, when this first broke, I said, what's going to happen now is everybody's going to run to the side where they think their butt's going to get saved. And so, oh, I'm going to run over here. Oh, wait a minute. I need to run back over. So right now, the fact that on that letter, it looks like that Rick is the one that's sitting there by himself, and everybody else is on that other side of the room saving their butts, and he's the odd man out.
Yeah, they seem to be separating themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
And that is really, to me, the development of the day. Well, obviously, the OSU player, you know.
I mean, there could be some major changes happening. You know, even further up, you look at Jurich. You know, the Texas University athletic director's job is open. His name has been mentioned for that. Could this go ahead and push him out the door to do something else? And, you know, there, like I said, there could be some major changes going on.
You hear it a lot in pro sports, you know, it's time to blow the program,
mm-hmm.
blow it up, you know, and start, you know, Boston Celtics did a couple years ago. L.A. is kind of on the cusp. So this might be one of those scenarios.
We were with Gillespie.
Well, that was unintended, you know. But, yeah, as far as – But it's going to be interesting to see at this point. Again, prediction, you think he's out?
The way it looks right now, sadly, you know, because like I said, I want him to stay because it's been enjoyable beating him and seeing him squirm on the sidelines. But sadly, I believe he's gone.
Yeah, I've enjoyed, like, releasing the squirms on him as well over the last, you know, however many years. But I'll go right now and say that I think he's maybe out. I'll say it as well. Never thought. Okay, here's my sweeping statement to end this wonderful old little brother podcast.
When, ultimate old little brother.
Right now, let's cue the sentimental music, if you will. Back whenever Rick first went to Louisville, I was not very happy about that decision. But I said then, the day of, I wonder what Rick is going to do to make them hate him when he leaves. Because that's what he does everywhere he goes. Name a place he's left. When he left Kentucky, I didn't hate him. When he went to Boston, I understood that. But when he went to Louisville, you know, majority of people, I'm using the word hate, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Those that are Kentucky fans and not Patino fans.
Exactly, yeah. Those are Kentucky fans. So, everywhere, Boston, talk to people in Boston what they think about.
Oh, they can't
so
stand
it. So, when he went to Louisville, I said, I wonder what he's going to do to make them not like him when he leaves. Well, I think we know now. It took some time,
mm-hmm.
but now I think we know now. I thought it happened in 09, but now we know what it is. Okay, you can stop the background music now. All right, we did it. Podcast, Old Little Brother, the full thing. Send it, share it, like it, love it. Go Cats.
And keep in touch because the news is happening, you know, as we speak.
Yeah, on Twitter, it's at Kentucky Crazies and it's at KY Crazy Aaron. Like it, share it, slam it, dunk it. Takes on a whole nother meeting in the Louisville dorm. Peace out. Go Cats. Next time, stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/KentuckyCrazies. KentuckyCrazies.com.
Listen up.
You people are crazy.
And this is all a part of my soul.